I've got a few things that I'd like to share with you this afternoon. And I'll give you my desires. This is what I want. If God would enable me, these are the things that I want to happen due to these words that I'm about to speak to you. First of all, I want to honor God. Now, that's the first reason for doing anything, isn't it? Whatever we do, whether we eat, whether we drink, the Scripture says, do all for the glory of God. I want to exalt God. That's what I want to do. I want to magnify Him. After all, He's the one who loaned Aaron to his family. He's the one who redeemed him. He's the one who saved him. He's the one who gave him to us. He's the one who took him home to be with him. This is about honoring God. I'm thankful for Aaron, but really, we want God to have the glory, don't we? We want God to be magnified because God is the great creator. God is the great one who holds all things together. He fulfills His will, that one who ordained all things that will ever happen. And He's the one who brought Aaron into the world, and He's the one who took him out of this world. So we've gathered together to honor God. That's my first goal. That's my first desire. And here's my second desire. I'd like to honor the Lord by speaking words that would be comforting to the family, to those of us who grieve. And I'll tell you, that's got to come from the Scriptures. It's got to come from God's Word. Our words to you, our words to each other, of, you know, we're praying for you, we hold you up, we're thinking about you. Those words are good to hear. But there's another word that will reach the very heart. That's the Word of God. We need to hear God speak. And He only speaks to us through the book. He speaks to us through the gospel. Listen, there is no good news. There is no comfort. There isn't any consolation for anybody outside the Word of God. And so I take you to the Scriptures. Listen to this verse in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I direct you to our God. May He take His word and put it into our innermost being. And let us be like, you remember in the Old Testament, I love that story where the Lord spoke to Samuel. He was resting, he was asleep, and the Lord said, Samuel, well, he thought it was Eli, who was the high priest of Israel. So he goes to Eli, who was an elderly man, and he thought he needed something. And he said, what is it? What is it? What you call my name for? And Eli said, I didn't call your name. Go back to bed. What are you waking an old man up at night for? Go back to bed. So he went back to bed. Well, it happened the second time. He goes in. He says, Eli, what do you need? He said, I'm not talking to you. I'm not calling you. Go back to bed. And it happened the third time. He goes in and he says to Eli, did you call me? Well, the old man perceived It was the voice of God. He said, go back to bed. When you hear your name spoken again, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And this is the way it should be for us. Anytime the word of God is open before us, and one speaks to us for God, and speaks of everlasting things, speaks of grace, speaks of blood, speaks of righteousness, speaks of salvation, speaks of everlasting life, speaks of our great God, speaks of our great Savior, speaks of the great Spirit of God. Whenever we speak the things of God, let us say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And maybe he'll speak to us today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If the Lord opened up the scriptures and opened up our minds and opened up our innermost beings and he spoke to us, that would bring us great consolation. If I could hear God through his word, if I could hear him say to me, I do all things well. If I could hear him say to me, if you could hear him say to you, this is all according to my purpose. If we could hear him say, my redeemed one is with me in glory. Rejoice for him. I know your hearts are heavy and my heart's heavy. I'm going to miss him. But he has entered into the delight of all delights. He's with the Lord of glory. He's with the Savior. Can you imagine that? The one who redeemed him. The one who washed him in his blood. The one who robed him in the garments of salvation. The one who sent his Spirit, who regenerated him, he quickened him, he drew him to the Savior, and now the Lord is taking him home to glory, and he sees face to face the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Indescribable joy. And I'll tell you, that those words should help you, comfort you. I know there's a void left in the family. And in this congregation, we'll miss him. But I'll tell you, he's joined the congregation above. And when he stepped out of this life into heaven's everlasting glory, he started singing the song of redemption. He learned it down here. And he went to glory and he started singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who has redeemed us unto God by your blood. He's worshiping with the saints of glory. He never missed a beat. He knew all the words. He sang salvation unto our God and unto the Lamb. He learned that down here. I hope we're learning that. Hope God's teaching us that. So I want to give some comfort to the family. And then here's the third thing. I want to speak to all of us and tell you what the Lord said to a man in the Old Testament many, many years ago. He said, set your house in order. You shall die, not live. I'm going to speak to you openly and honestly and frankly and simply. Death is serious business. Due to the effects of sin, disease ravished his body. death took him at God's command. But as I think about that, there are a few questions that kind of arise in my mind, and I'm going to raise these questions to you as we think about death. People like to make fun of death, don't they? At other times, make jokes about death. No joking matter, is it? God gave you a life. One life He gave you. And He's going to take it someday. He's going to take mine. He gave me my life like He gave you your life, and He's going to take it away one of these days. I want to know this God who gave me life. That's what I want. I want to know Him. I want to believe Him. I want to be found in the Lord Jesus, the only Savior of sinners. I'm really interested in this, and I hope you are too. So let me just ask five questions here real briefly. What was Aaron's relationship to God? That is, was everything all right between this man and a very holy God? Well, after preaching to him for a few years, after visiting with him several times and listening to his own testimony, I can say with great confidence, I can say with assurance, this man, when he left this world, he went into the arms of Christ Jesus. I visited with him lots of times. Never heard him talk about his baptism. Never heard him talk about church membership. Never heard him talk about good works. Never heard him talk about his faithfulness. Never heard him mention at all what he had done for the Lord. He never said anything about his Bible reading. He never said anything about praying. He loved to talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was his only hope. This is a sinner's only hope. Listen, folks, you're going out into eternity. You're going to meet God. What's your hope? What is your expectation of future blessing? Answer in your soul. What is your hope? Why do you think God will receive you? Why would I ever think God would receive me? A sinner. One who's broken His law. Why would God receive any of us? And this man's own witness was, God receives me for Christ's sake. That's all. Oh, and he rejoiced in the grace of God. He rejoiced in the Savior. I'm very confident about his relationship with God. I told Bill back in the office a little bit ago, we were talking, and I said, you know, I've been pastoring since 1975. I visited lots of folks who've been dying, people who died, people who are right on the verge of eternity. I never met anybody who more strongly exemplified the sufficiency of the grace of God than Aaron. He had tremendous testimony. And I know it wasn't him. It wasn't him. It was the grace that God gave him. Listen, if you can face death without fear, and if you can think about meeting a God who's absolutely holy, and you can think of that with boldness, and all of your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinners, and you have no confidence in yourself at all. Not your works, not your baptism, not your faithfulness. You count it all but dung to win Christ Jesus. Then you've got a good hope. You've got a good hope. What was Aaron's relationship with God? He's a child of God. Here's the second question. Why is he with Christ Jesus now? Why is he in heaven? Everybody talks about, I want to go to heaven when I die. Well, I do too. I do too. Why is he in the very presence of God? Why is he at the Savior's feet worshiping and blessing the name of Christ Jesus? When he breathed last Thursday morning, when he breathed his last breath here on earth, why was he instantly taken to the presence of God? Let me tell you. Because God, before he made this old earth, ordained him unto salvation. God gave him grace in Christ Jesus. Listen to this scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, speaking of God who saved us, God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God chose him unto salvation. If you're a believer, I hope you are. I hope you're resting in Christ Jesus. You say, he's my only hope, preacher. Great. That's wonderful. I rejoice with you. I'll tell you why you're a believer. Because back before God ever made anything, he put you in Christ Jesus. He chose you unto salvation. Salvation is not something we do. It's not something we bring about. The Bible says salvation's of the Lord. He ordained Aaron to everlasting life. He ordained him to be without blame before him. God predestinated him unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. God did that. I'll tell you why he's in heaven, because God sent his son to die in his stead. The Lord Jesus, God's own son, came into this world and laid down his life a sacrifice to God. He was the sin offering to God, because God couldn't do anything for us. He couldn't forgive us. He couldn't embrace us. He couldn't welcome us unless Christ Jesus did something for the Father. He had to honor his justice and his law, because we've sinned against God, and the Word of God says, that soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we've all sinned against God. That means we're going to die. Wait a minute. There's good news. The substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. You see, he came to save the guilty. He came to die the death that we deserved. And God put him on the cross. I know the Jews did what they did, and the Romans did what they did, and the soldiers did what they did, but all according to God's eternal purpose of grace. God ordained the death of his son, for in his death, that's where we see our life. In his blood, that's where we see our forgiveness. In his righteousness, that's where we see our acceptance by God. That's why he's in heaven. Christ died for him. He offered to God the sacrifice that removed all of the guilt and all of the transgressions and all of the iniquities of his people. You see, our Lord Jesus came to defeat all of the enemies against the soul of Aaron. He came to satisfy justice. And he came to do something about his sins. He came to put them away. He came to bury them in the depths of the deepest sea. He came to put them behind God's back. That's what Christ did. The scripture says his name is Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Did he do it? Isaiah said he can't fail. He can't fail. We're talking about the God-man here. The reason Aaron is in heaven, because God chose him unto salvation. Christ Jesus died for him. And arose for him. And ever lives for him. But Aaron, like all the rest of us, is born dead in trespasses and sins. Is born in spiritual darkness. He didn't have the life of God and he didn't have the light of God. So God sent him a preacher. And as that preacher preached the gospel of God's grace in Christ, the Spirit of God miraculously, mysteriously opened his heart. That's what the Lord did for Lydia. What the Lord did for Lydia, he did for Aaron. He opened his heart so that he attended to the things that were spoken to him. God the Spirit gave him repentance. God the Spirit gave him faith. God the Spirit taught him about Christ Jesus. Who Christ is? He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. What he did, he lived a life of obedience and died a sacrificial death that God might be just and justifier of all who believe on him. Why did he do it? To satisfy God's demands. Where is Christ now? Seated at the right hand of God. That's the reward for him finishing the work that God gave him to do. And the Spirit of God came to Aaron and gave him sight to see the glories, the beauties of Christ Jesus, to see his own need of such a Savior. The Spirit of God gave him ears to hear the message, gave him a new heart to receive the Word of God. The Spirit of God throughout his life kept showing him Christ Jesus. That's what the Spirit of God does. He takes us to the Savior over and over and over again, revealing more to the soul of the great Redeemer. The Holy Spirit gave him the willingness to be saved by grace alone. You see, the Scripture says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." God made him willing. Well, you know about that. That has to happen. It did happen. It did happen. God made him willing to be saved God's way. By salvation, by substitution, by satisfaction. The Lord drew him to Christ Jesus and he believed him. Here's the third question quickly. What's Aaron doing in heaven? He's worshiping. He's worshiping. See, heaven's a place of worship and thanksgiving. And I would say this. I fully believe that the nearest we'll ever get to heaven in this world is in a worship service where we're rejoicing in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the nearest we'll ever be to heaven on this earth. Because you see, that's what they're doing in heaven's everlasting glory. Every eye's on the Son of God. They're not wandering around looking at Well, look at the streets of gold, and look at the walls of jasper and all that. Of course, that's figurative language anyway, I'm persuaded. But they're not looking at those things. They're looking at him who loved them and gave himself for them. Every eye is on Christ. Every voice is singing his praises. He's worshiping the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Heaven's a place of worship. Do you enjoy hearing about Jesus Christ and him crucified? I do. I truly do. Doesn't much matter to me who the mouthpiece is as long as he's saying the right message. Well, one of these days, we'll hear this same message of redemption. Listen, from that one who is the spokesman for God. The Word of God. And he will speak to us. He'll preach to us. He'll talk to us about grace. He'll open up to us. Like he's opening up to Aaron now. An additional understanding of the intricacies of the gospel. Oh, how glorious that must be. I can only imagine. What's he doing in heaven? Well, he's worshiping the Lord. There he is, washed in the blood, wearing a white robe. Of course, he wore that down here too. Because he has made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus has been made to us to be wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. That's holiness, my friend. He say, are you a holy person? Christ is my holiness. That good enough? Christ is my holiness. And redemption, that according as it is written, he that... Glory of the Lady. Glory in the Lord. Well, here's the fourth question quickly. What happened to Aaron? Well, the moment he reached the end that God had ordained for him, the end of his days on this earth, his soul went back to God. And his body will be committed to the grave here in just a little bit to await the final resurrection. You see, for each of us, we have a body, but we are a soul. You see, really, and I know this is his earthly tabernacle. Aaron's earthly tabernacle is in the casket before us. But that's not Aaron. No, he didn't die. Not Aaron. Well, but what about his body, preacher? Fell asleep. There's no death for the people of God. The body falls asleep, not his soul. But his body fell asleep. And we're going to take his body out here and commit it to the ground. But he's gone to heaven, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that God has prepared for him a heavenly body, a spiritual body. See, when somebody dies, it isn't a soul floating around. When we die, listen, we don't become angels. You don't believe that foolishness, do you? We don't become angels. We don't go up there and start sitting on a star and strumming a harp and that sort of foolishness. No, God's got a body for us in the heavens. And therefore, we in heaven, we still have our identity. Do you know that? Aaron is still Aaron. And he'll always be Aaron. It's like at when our Lord went up on the mountain for the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared to him. Guess what? Moses was still Moses and Elijah was still Elijah. It's an interesting story, which I don't have time to go into it, toward the end of the book, 1 Samuel. King Saul, he wanted to see Samuel, and Samuel was dead. And God, through his providence, using first one and then another, it was this woman that he used, and King Saul said, "Well, have you got Samuel?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what did he look like?" And she described him, and now Samuel had been dead. And she described him to King Saul. You know what the king said? "Yeah, that's him all right, just like you described him," because Samuel was still Samuel. And Aaron is still Aaron. Always will be. And this body, it fell asleep. The Lord's going to come back and take you to him in the resurrection. A new body. The scripture says, we know that if our earthly house, this was his earthly house, is dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That word dissolved, it's a figurative expression from many years ago, and it means to put away for the night. It's like one who took a journey. They put away things for the night. This body is going to be put away for the night. Guess what's going to happen in the morning? Resurrection morning. It's going to wake up because our Lord Jesus is coming back. The soul will be joined back to the body. Now, I got one more question for you. What's going to happen to you when you die? I face this question. When I worked on this message, I thought about the question that I needed to ask you, and I ask it of myself, what's going to happen to me when I die? Well, who is my hope? That'll give you the answer right there. What are you depending on? Your baptism? Your works? Law keeping? Repentance? You're going to be in for a sad disappointment. I'll tell you, there are so many of us here today like Aaron, we can say my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. You build on Christ Jesus, that's a solid rock. But if you build on anything else, it's sinking sand. Our Lord said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. You can't come. No, it's impossible. Don't you see? You need a mediator. You need a go-between. And I ask God now, even as I prayed yesterday when I was working on this message and this morning again, and just before I came out here, oh God, take your word. Perform a miracle. That's what's got to happen. And I made this statement to our folks here Sunday. I said, we're living, breathing, walking miracles of his grace. We're trophies of God's grace. Aaron is a trophy of the grace of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you'd bless this word that's gone forth, and we've tried to do these three things to exalt you, magnify your name, be a comfort and a consolation through the word of God to the family and to those who've got broken hearts. And we've tried to address people openly, simply, seriously concerning the things that have to do with eternity. Now, Lord, you'll have to do the work. Pray that you'll open hearts that are closed. Lord, give a new heart of faith and confidence in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the life of our brother. We rejoice that he's with Christ Jesus, which we read in the scriptures is far better. Bless the family. Give continued grace and strength. And bless all of these dear friends who are in attendance, those who've been watching by way of the internet. Oh, God, we need your grace. We need your strength. I pray that you'll administer mercy to our great needs through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's get your song.